Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment. And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. One thing is that the purport's quite long. Would it be okay if I read part of the purport, discuss, and then read on? Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay, fine. Okay. I'll follow the lead of our senior staff of Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Okay, purport. This is a quotation from the Vishnu Purana 6761. In the previous verse, quoted from the Bhagavad Gita, it has been established that the living entities are to be categorized among the Lord's potencies. The Lord is potent, and there are varieties of potencies, parasya shakti avivadayava shruyate. Now in this quotation from the Vishnu Purana, this is further confirmed. There are various potencies, and they have been divided into three categories, namely spiritual, marginal, and external. The spiritual potency is manifested in the spiritual world. Krishna's form, qualities, activities, and entourage are all spiritual. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.5. Ajopi san avyatma bhutanamishvaropisan prakritim swam adistaya sambhavam yatma mayaya. Although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all living entities, by my spiritual potency, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Atmamayaya refers to the spiritual potency. When Krishna comes to this or any other universe, he does so with his spiritual potency. We take birth by the force of the material potency, but as stated here with reference to the Vishnu Purana, the Kshetrigya, or living entity, belongs to the spiritual potency. Thus, when we free ourselves from the clutches of the material potency, we can also enter the spiritual world. Okay, so we'll start there. Om Ajnanita Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahakana Raghunatam Vitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakamvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we beg for the blessing of the assembled Vaishnavas, particularly our seniors, Devavit Prabhu, the Prabhupada disciples, so we can speak something pleasing to the Parampara on this wonderful verse and purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. And so here a quote from the Vishnu Purana is being given. And actually in this section there will be quotes, previous verses, a quote from the Bhagavad Gita, and other places as well. The Vishnu Purana is also being quoted. So here, what is being spoken of in this verse are the categorization of reality. Right? There's many different ways in which the potencies are categorized, but here in this particular verse, what is being spoken of is the Antaranga Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti, and the Tatastha Shakti. So the Antaranga Shakti is the internal potency of the Lord, the spiritual energy. The Tatastha Shakti is the marginal potency, which consists of the living entities. And then you have the Bahiranga Shakti, which is the material energy. So the example that Prabhupada gives is it's just like the shore of the sea. Right? So you have the waves coming in, you have the seashore itself, and you have that crest. Right? You have the edge, which is sometimes covered, sometimes uncovered. Okay? So the material energy is like the ocean, right? The ocean of material suffering, which sometimes covers the living entity, which is Tatastha, who is Tatastha, like the shore, the edge. And then you have the actual sand, the actual shore itself, which is always dry. Okay? So we are, due to the minute nature of the living entity, liable to be covered by this ignorance. And the process of Krishna consciousness is the process of uncovering or reawakening, as is explained, the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature of the living entity. When I was reading this purport, to be honest, it's a brilliant purport. I mean, Prabhupada has given so many outstanding points in this purport. But yeah, it will take a few classes to really go through it, you know, in detail. But by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we can say something, some small thing on it. So we understand here also that Krishna is explaining from this verse in the Bhagavad Gita that when he comes, he says he comes by his spiritual potency. By my spiritual potency, I still appear in every millennium. Now, in addition to that, not only does Krishna come, but we know he comes with his associates. So when they come, they also come and they also remain within the spiritual potency. So what is the situation of the Nitya Siddha in the material atmosphere? Right? It is something like, diplomatic immunity. Right? So diplomatic immunity means that you're a diplomat from India, you're in London. Okay? So you're in London, you're acting in London, but you're actually still under the laws of India. You understand the point? So therefore, you're in one environment, but you are subject to the laws of another environment. So when the pure devotee comes into this material world, even though they are in the material world, interacting with the material world, they're still under the spiritual potency. And the special quality of pure goodness, and the pure devotee is always in that transcendental state of pure goodness, is that everything they interact with can also take on the qualities of pure goodness. So in the association of the Nitya Siddhas, like Srila Prabhupada, we actually are drawn into their atmosphere. And we get a chance to perceive or to be blessed by the spiritual world through their association. Now that expands. There's a term, tadiya, right? Those articles which are used by the pure devotee, by the spiritual master, right? Prabhupada says this is called tadiya. So they are also imbued with that pure goodness. So they are worshipable. We can pray to them. We can access the mercy of the spiritual master through those particular items. Now, in addition to that, that expands also into the teachings. So Prabhupada's books also, they are also a means by which the living entity can be elevated into that platform. One of my friends was asking one Prabhupada disciple recently about the importance of reading. And this Prabhupada disciple was making a wonderful point. He's saying that when you read Prabhupada's books, you are able, therefore, by reading the books, to associate with the Acharya, that's through the Prabhupada himself, and all of those associates of the Acharya. So much more is happening when we discuss, when we consider this philosophy. Right? Just by coming and hearing, we are able to actually associate with the Nitya Siddhas in our particular line, to be blessed by their association, by their understanding, to be tuned in. Through the spiritual knowledge, the consciousness is tuned in more and more to the desires of the Lord. So it's a very, very powerful point. See, here in this area of Chaitanya Charitamrita, different verses from different shastras are being quoted. Why? Because that is the way of authority. The way of authority is to quote scripture. And the pure devotee, they are not just quoting scripture, but they are also living by the scripture. So when they speak, Acharya Van Purusha Veda, when Srila Prabhupada speaks, he is shastric, but he is spontaneously shastric. That means everything he says, you will find it somewhere within the teachings of the shastra. So it's a very, very powerful point. And these are all manifestations, as is explained in this verse in purple. All of these things are manifestations of the spiritual energy. The acharya, the books, the teachings, these are all manifestations of the spiritual energy. Okay, let's read further. The material potency is the energy of darkness or complete ignorance of spiritual activities. In the material potency, the living entity engages himself in fruitive activities, thinking that he can be happy through expansion in terms of material energy. This is really crucial. The nature of the soul is such that we are anandamaya. We are pleasure-seeking by nature. But you can seek pleasure in ignorance, or you can seek pleasure in knowledge. So Krishna consciousness is the pursuit of, it's an enlightened pursuit of happiness. It is the enlightened pursuit. There is actually no happiness outside of Krishna consciousness. It's a very heavy thing to say, but it's a fact. Why can we say this? Because you see that as the material energy expands, the material energy has the tendency, as two potencies, to cover and pull down, So the living entity, by association with the material nature, the living entity becomes blinded and becomes pulled down. It becomes degraded. So in here, Prabhupada is speaking about the tendency that the living entity has in terms of trying to become happy through expansion of material energy. Now, to be honest, Prabhupada's being kind. That is a kind statement. Because if you look at the present day material world, there's so much incompetence that even the material nature itself is restricting. Have you noticed that? When you look at the present material situation, the resources are restricting. The quality of relationships are restricting. That means that it's not even pious material. In Kali Yuga, you don't even have, it's advanced in Kali Yuga to be a pious materialist. It's just intensely sinful material. Now, the root cause of the material energy is actually spiritual energy. So unless people become spiritual, even material success is not available. So you see, as Prabhupada was explaining to one of his disciples when they were preaching in other countries, he said, you should tell the leaders that unless they become Krishna conscious, they will not even have grains. There will not be grains. The earth itself will restrict its resources. So this Sankirtan Yajna, if you see any resource that's there, even in the world outside of Krishna consciousness, even in the materialistic world, it is due to the Sankirtan Yajna. If it was not for the devotees performing sacrifice on behalf of the humanity, you think the material situation is bad? It would be millions of times worse. And it's important to notice these things, otherwise it's difficult to appreciate how powerful Krishna consciousness actually is. As Prabhupada stated, there should have been a third world war, but due to the Sankirtan mission, it has been alleviated. It's such a powerful process of yajna. Let's read on. This fact is prominently manifested in this age of Kali because human society, not understanding the spiritual nature, is busily expanding in material activities. The men of the present day are almost unaware of their spiritual identity. They think that they are products of the elements of the material world and that everything will end with annihilation of the body. so important. If life comes from matter, then life does not matter. It cannot matter. Right? So Prabhupada was very heavy on the materialistic gurus of present day society. Darwin, you know, I think, you know, some of the psychologists, I think it was Jung or Freud, I think people like that. Because what they do is they espouse a philosophy that misleads people. Hmm? You understand the point? So because of Darwinism, many people can feel justified in the philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry, right? Because the idea is you only have one life, so you get the most that you can out of it. You know, you just enjoy yourself because when you die, it's all over. One person I know, he recently found out that there's a childhood friend that used to go on holiday every year. Their families would go together. So his childhood friend had posted something online about depression. And then a few months after, this childhood friend committed suicide. Right? And it was interesting because this person I know, he knows I'm a devotee and so on. And I could see, I was just analyzing his kind of mentality towards the situation. And it was very instructive because he was on this edge. So you're a materialistic person, a normal, so-called normal person. Your friend has committed suicide, right? They were depressed and they committed suicide. You know about this philosophy. You've heard about this Krishna consciousness philosophy. What side of the equation do you go on? Do you go on the side of the equation of ignorance? You know, why is there suffering? Why can't I enjoy? Why, if there is a God, why has he created this bad situation? You know, it's his fault, right? We blame Krishna, blame God, and there's a problem, you know, it's not fair. Or do you go on the other side? Okay, if these things are happening, and if I myself am unhappy, it means that I'm responsible, right? It means that I am actually responsible for my situation. And if I want the situation to change, I'm going to have to accept responsibility and to work my way out of the mire that I have placed myself into. Okay. Now, in modern material society, all of the messages are, it's not your fault. It's never your fault. And to the extent that we come into Krishna consciousness with that material conditioning, we will think exactly the same thing. Whatever happens to us, it's never my fault. It's someone else. It's always someone else. But according to our teachings, no, it's us. The situation that we're in, the type of material situation that we're in, the type of material conditioning that we have, is something that we are actually responsible for. We may have instruments through which we receive our karma, but actually, we've done this to ourselves. That's not fatalistic, that's empowering. Because actually, if we become responsible, we become mature, then we can do something as devotees. It's very, very, very important for us as devotees to take full responsibility for the situations that we are in. Only then will we have a chance of growing and relishing Krishna consciousness. That's a very, very important point. Okay. So, this idea that we're products of the elements of the material world, is so pervasive, that people don't even question it, right? That's how strong the material energy is, right? See, it's powerful when people have a misconception. But real Maya is when the misconception is so deeply entrenched that you don't even know that you're holding on to the misconception. That's Maya, right? That's, you know, when Maya is so deeply ingrained that we don't even think about it. As devotees, for example, right? Atmavam manyate jagat, right? So Prabhupada says, everyone sees the world from their own perspective. There's a wonderful purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 2, text number 30. It's the pastime where Gajendra is fighting the crocodile, right, in the water, and Prabhupada in that purport talks about fighting Maya from a position of strength. And Prabhupada in that purport says, therefore there are eight positions, right? He says, Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, like that, and talks about the Varnas and the Ashrams. And he says, what constitutes a normal condition is different for different people. So there's different mentality. So sometimes when we're in conflict, or when we have a disagreement, we have this mentality that everyone should be like us. Why don't they think like we do? But that is Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Everyone sees the world from their own perspective. Because I'm like that, everyone else should be like that. Because ingrained in the consciousness is selfishness. And without deep training, without deep contemplation of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, we don't even know that we think that way. We don't even realize that there's a world outside of our mentality, and that there are other people with other considerations, other values, other perspectives, other needs, other expectations. And then we wonder why we cannot be cohesive sometimes in our interactions as devotees. But no one thinks about it, because it's so deeply ingrained. So we have to really go deep with everything that's said in Prabhupada's books. As Prabhupada says, understand this philosophy threadbare, from different angles of vision, with deep contemplation. Because by contemplation, we transform. There's nothing worse than maintaining the same consciousness year in, year out. There's nothing worse than that. It must go deeper and deeper and deeper, more refined Krishna consciousness. And we have to uproot. As we go deeper, we have to uproot the material conceptions that we hold on to, as is exactly being spoken of here. Right? We can take this presentation by Prabhupada on two layers. So he is saying, the men of the present day are almost unaware of their spiritual identity. Right? The men of the present day includes every single one of us, according to the degree that we're still in this consciousness. To the degree that we're in this consciousness, we are still within this group. Okay. Therefore, they conclude that as long as one has a material body consisting of material senses, one should enjoy the senses as much as possible. Since they are atheists, they do not care whether there is a next life. Such activities are described in this verse as avidya karma samyagya. This term avidya is very important. Right? So, when you talk about knowledge, there is actually paravidya, right? Spiritual transcendental knowledge. There is aparavidya, right? Scriptural knowledge about the material energy. And then there is avidya, right? So in the Vedic conception, you have advanced material knowledge and you have advanced transcendental knowledge. And you have modern society which has neither of them, which is just steeped in ignorance, right? So it's really the lowest side of knowledge. You couldn't even call it knowledge, right? It is the most refined form of ignorance, right? Just gross ignorance. Right? And that is why everyone is suffering. In ignorance, people are so foolish that we think that we will do one thing, there'll be no reaction. I mean, so foolish. Prabhupada was in Chicago, 1976. At that time, Chicago was the slaughterhouse capital of America. Prabhupada told the devotees, if you can just get them to close down these slaughterhouses, immediately the weather will change. Right? Immediately. Because in the Vedic understanding, there's a connection between sinful activities and even the atmosphere and the environment. Right? But people are so steeped in ignorance, we'll kill all the animals, but it's okay. You know, if the weather's bad, it's just a coincidence, right? You ever heard that term before, right? The materialistic idea is whenever you don't know anything, you just call it coincidence, right? I don't know what the cause of it is, therefore I'll just say it happened by accident, by coincidence. Even though this tradition, which is thousands of years old, has very detailed knowledge, that if you don't become God conscious, everything will suffer. Everything. Jai, Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Tulsi Maharaj ki jai. Okay. The material energy is separated from the material, from the spiritual energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, although it is originally created by the Supreme Lord, he is not actually present within it. The Lord also confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Matstani Sarva Bhutani, everything is resting on me. This indicates that everything is resting on his own energy. For example, the planets are resting within outer space, which is the separated energy of Krishna. The Lord explains in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, Bhubmi apu nalavaya karma nabu devacha ahankrityami bina prakriti ashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated energies. The separated energy acts as if it were independent, but here it is said that although such energies are certainly factual, they are not independent but merely separated. Crucial point, right? So everything that is being done materially is, again, it is actually dependent on Krishna. Even your material body, right? Your material body and your material mind, it belongs to Krishna. And it's working under Krishna's laws, right? I was doing some study on Ayurveda, right? And in Ayurveda, in the Ayurvedic literatures, it says one cannot have good health without being spiritually advanced. It actually explains like that. And in the Ayurvedic system, it says that food is considered anything that the body can actually digest is considered food. And anything that the body cannot digest is considered poison. Right? That means even so-called food that your body cannot digest is actually considered to be poison. And it creates toxins in the particular body. In Ayurveda, it says more than that. It says that it's not just about the body digesting, but also your mind. Right? In Ayurveda, it says also there are particular thoughts that your mind can digest and particular thoughts that your mind cannot digest. So when we study Shastra, what are we doing? Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Cleansing the mirror of the mind with spiritual knowledge. If the mind is constantly fed avidya, right, it goes deeper and deeper into ignorance and suffers. That's why you find more instances of people going crazy, right? Rage, right? So much passion, so much ignorance, because what people are being bombarded with in modern society is actually causing them to psychologically fall apart. So what we hear, what we speak, all of these things are affecting the mind. With all of our respects to Malati Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, it's a very foolish society with lack of knowledge. Now, there's a subtle point here in relation to that. Therefore, we want to cleanse the mind of the spiritual knowledge. It's very, very important to cleanse the mind of the spiritual knowledge. But there's another subtlety. In Krishna consciousness, when we're practicing, generally we consider that we're practicing activities of Krishna consciousness. So we're practicing our chanting, deity service, Sankirtan, etc. But actually, Krishna consciousness has two streams of practice. We're practicing an activity and we're practicing a consciousness or an attitude. If we want to make explosive, very deep spiritual progress, be extremely careful in Krishna consciousness to practice both. When Lord Chaitanya gives these verses in Shikshashtakam, he says, for example, third verse, Junada Pisa Nichina Tarua Pisa Ishina Manina Manina Kirtaniya Sadhana. Right? He's giving the activity, chant the holy names of the Lord, but what? In a humble state of mind. Right? So the prescription is for activity and attitude. It's very easy to do one and to leave the other. But if we want to grow, and if you don't want to be caught out by the material energy, you have to practice both. You have to practice both. There was a situation, a political situation, that happened recently. Local politics, meaning to some situation that happened with a devotee. And it was interesting, the response. Okay, so he had made some endeavor, been doing some service, and then some misunderstanding happened. He was blamed for something that wasn't his fault, right? Now, how do you respond when you're blamed for something that's not your fault? Now, you can consider that, you can have the attitude that, okay, this is not good. It does hurt. Okay, but above and beyond that, I can use this to become more Krishna conscious. Or you can consider that I wasn't given the right treatment. I wasn't dealt with fairly. Now, I'm going to either minimize or I'm going to stop practicing my Krishna consciousness. It's very easy to sit here and say I wouldn't do that, right? But Maya is so strong that she will catch every single person where they are weak. Maya is very personal, right? So it's going to be where we are weak, not where someone else is weak. You look at the other person, oh, I can't believe he fell to that one. Like that. Because that's where you're strong. Right? And because you think everyone should be like you, you think, oh, I want to fall for that one. No, but she's not coming from you. She's not coming to you in that angle. She's coming to you where you're weak. Right? So, unless we practice the attitude, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. This Trinada Pisanichana is therefore so crucial. What is the difference between the Kanishtha and the Majjha? Right? When the Kanishtha sees fault, they really get into the faults of others. When the Madhyam sees fault, the Madhyam's first response is to consider how that same fault is present within themselves. First response is to see how the fault is present within ourselves. How do I manifest this same weakness within my own consciousness? And how can I change myself in order to assist others? And in that mood of humility, we can really taste Krishna consciousness. Because in that mood of humility, we won't be assisting others. We will not be assisting others. But Lord Chaitanya will come through the devotee and he will assist others through us. We don't want to perform Krishna consciousness by our own qualification. Because in Kali Yuga, our only qualification is that we don't have any qualifications. So if we are going to assist in the Krishna conscious movement, we must assist by the qualification of the Nitya Siddhas, Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and the Lord Himself. So the process of Krishna consciousness is that we're trying to get out of the way. And one way of getting out of the way is to relieve ourselves of these mentalities which are being described here. Okay. So the separated energy can be understood from a practical example. I compose books by speaking into a dictaphone, and when the dictaphone is replayed, it appears that I'm speaking personally, but actually I am not. I spoke personally, but then the dictaphone tape, which is separate from me, acts exactly like me. Similarly, the material energy originally emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it acts separately, although the energy is supplied by the Lord. Isn't that an amazing analogy that's given by Srila Prabhupada? Such an amazing analogy. So he explains clearly how the material energy works, right? It is coming from the Lord, but it's separate. So he creates it, sets it in motion, and then releases it to function. Right? Now, looking at this point, you can take this point from many different dimensions. But let's try this one. When you look at this analogy that's given, it means that the founder Acharya is speaking from realization. Because unless you understand what's in Shastra, you can't give an example like that. Right? It's so clear that something which would be extremely complex or technical, an example, you hear this, oh, that makes complete sense, now I understand. So in the Vedas, there is Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasa. There is the hearing, then there's contemplation, then there's application. Because we're in the process of transforming. So Prabhupada explains, first canto, Bhagavatam, chapter 4, first verse in the purple, that one should not change the teachings. One should not change the teachings. But at the same time, one must be able to explain the teachings in a way that is suitable for the particular audience. Prabhupada said, this is called realization. So we see the display here and throughout Prabhupada's books, just how realized this person is. Because the deepest truths of Vedic understanding, the most esoteric knowledge in reality, but explained so nicely, so vividly, so clearly, that even a child can understand. That is the glory of our, you know, founder Acharya. To make the teaching so accessible that even the most materialistic age, the most materialistic people in the most materialistic age, they can understand and have a chance to go back home, back to Gotit. Okay, let's move on. Similarly, the material energy originally emanates from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it acts separately, although the energy is supplied by the Lord. This is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita 9:10. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti. And it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under the guidance or superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the material energy works as if independent, although it is not actually independent. Very serious situation we're in now. Because people are so atheistic, as Prabhupada explained, so materialistic, the entire planet is being inundated with people of a demoniac nature. Right? It is actually a miracle that anyone becomes Krishna conscious. You want to see a testimony to Krishna's potency? Just look to the fact that people are actually becoming spiritual in a materialistic age. Because all the propaganda goes against that. So much it goes against that. And because people are even conceiving in such animalistic and ignorant and passionate modes, then they wonder why their children are aggressive, right? Why the children of this age are so aggressive that even the children may attack other children, will use weapons, will kill other children, right? Of course, the materialistic foolish mentality will call it a coincidence, or it's, we don't know why this is happening, right? But it's happening because we have disobeyed the laws of Krishna. That's all. No one will overcome these laws. You work with the laws or you break yourself against the laws. That's it. Right? There are no alternatives. So surrender is a symptom of intelligence. It's because, see, it's like this. Krishna and the Acharyas, they love the living entity. They love the living entities. Therefore, whatever they give, it's the best, right? The pure devotees, the acharyas, they will never give anything. They will not give an instruction if it's not the best. You understand? It is a natural function of their extreme compassion that they will only give an instruction, a teaching, if it's actually the best. So if you follow what they are giving, you are going to get the best result. And to the extent that we don't follow, it will be suboptimal. Does that make sense? It will be less than God wants you to have. So Prabhupada, as he says, he's coming with straw between his teeth, simply to give us the best. And our foolishness is that even though we're being given the best, we still find some way to reject what's being given. We're offered the best, but we will still reject the very best that's been given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his most munificent form, right? Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam. Krishna with the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. The very best being given by the best. And we'll still find ways to say no. Okay. In this verse from the Vishnu Purana, the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is classified in three divisions, namely the spiritual or internal potency of the Lord, the marginal potency or Kshetragya, the living entity, and the material potency, which is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and appears to act independently. When Srila Vyasadeva, by meditation and self-realization, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also saw the separated energy of the Lord standing behind him. Apasyat purusham purnam mayam cha tat apasrayam. Vyasadeva also realized that it is this separated energy of the Lord, the material energy, that covers the knowledge of the living entities. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam tri gunat makam. The separated material energy bewilders the living entities, jivas, and thus they work very hard under its influence, not knowing that they are not fulfilling their mission of in life. There is only one mission, and every living entity, whether they are Vaishnavas or non-Vaishnavas, they are aligned in the mission towards happiness, the mission towards the fulfillment of their own nature, but it is simply how that endeavor will be executed. Right? As we said before, someone doesn't know. The living entity in ignorance thinks, I will make up my own plan to become happy. The devotee understands that actually my happiness is a manifestation of Krishna's happiness. Right? In fact, the pure devotee, their only way of understanding or experiencing happiness is that Krishna is pleased, that Krishna is happy. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashishtani nindriyani prakutishtani kashati mama eva amsa. The living entities, we are part and parcel of Krishna himself. So when he is pleased, actually then we are pleased. And anything below that platform actually is trouble. So we can do something wrong, even as a devotee. We can do something wrong and think, okay, no one's seen me. It's all right. Just wait. Right? Just wait. Give it time. Right? Because there's a witness. Krishna's watching in the heart. Every single thing we do, he's watching. Every single thing. Right? And it's a thankless task, but he has the duty also of helping us to learn what will actually be in our best interest. So we do something wrong. Even the thinking has some reaction. If you harbor mentalities or thoughts in the modes of passion and ignorance, you pollute your mind with those particular modes. Even if you didn't speak it, right? Still, the mind becomes polluted by that meditation. It becomes so subtle. So we're trying for more and more refined levels of Krishna consciousness. What someone does in the beginning and what is tolerated in the beginning is not the same as what someone does 10, 20, 15 years down, right? So when you are 1 year old in Krishna consciousness, right, then you're acting a certain way, right? Just like a one-year-old child, the child does something wrong, you give the child some money, the child puts some money in their mouth, they lick it, you know, you say that's cute, right? The 35-year-old man who's doing that, then it's like, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? You understand? So it's like that. Krishna is expecting more and more. The more that we know, the more that we are held responsible. The more that the wages of knowledge, right? The more that we know and understand in Krishna consciousness, actually, the more we're going to be held responsible. So we are meant to go for more refined levels. The practice, the attitude, the mentality, the exchange, the depth has to become more and more, because wherever we are, Maya is always just behind. That's all. She's always just behind the living entity. That's it. Just behind. And she's so perfect in her execution, because in the spiritual world, it is all about pure loving exchanges, and Krishna is the center. Right? And people relish the fact that Krishna is in the center. Right? What is that verse? Machita matkata pranabodhyanta parashram kathayantascha mamnityam tusyanticha ramanticha. The devotees are experiencing great bliss and satisfaction from enlivening one another about Krishna. So, because we need taste, we need loving relationships, we need loving exchanges, if we do not strive to go deeper in our spiritual life, to get them through our spiritual practices, we will, to that extent, turn towards the material energy for the fulfillment of the intrinsic nature of the soul. Huh? We will try and get them somewhere else. That's simple. So we must more and more refine our spiritual practice in order to go deeper into that. Okay. Unfortunately, most of them think that they are the body and should therefore enjoy the material senses irresponsibly, since when death comes, everything will be finished. This atheistic philosophy also flourished in India, where it was sometimes propagated by Charvakya Muni, who says, Rinam Kritva Gritam Pibet Yavat Vijet Sukam Jivet Basyami Bhutasya Bhutasya Dehasya Kuta Puna Agamano Bhavet. His theory was that as long as one lives, one should eat as much ghee as possible. Interesting. In India, ghee, clarified butter, is a basic ingredient in preparing many varieties of food. Since everyone wants to enjoy nice food, Charvaka Muni advised that one should eat as much ghee as possible. You can go on a ghee spree, okay? One may say, I have no money. How should I purchase ghee? Charvaka Muni, however, says if you have no money, then beg, borrow, or steal. But in some way, some secure ghee and enjoy life. Okay. For one who further objects that he will be held accountable for such unauthorized activities as begging, borrowing, and stealing, Charvaka Muni replies, you will not be held responsible. As soon as your body is burnt to ashes, after death, everything is finished. So there is a conception which justifies a way of life. Right? You can understand what you really think. You can understand the philosophy you really hold simply by looking at your behavior and your lifestyle. That's it. Right? So we have a Krishna conscious philosophy, but you can understand what your philosophy is by what you do. Right? Prabhupada was in a morning walk and he was speaking to the devotees, and at one point he stopped, he stuck his cane in the ground, he said, the problem is none of you believe in Krishna. He said like that. He said, the trouble is that none of you believe in Krishna. Hmm? There's a very wonderful point that someone was making recently about relationship. That as Vaishnavas, relationship isn't just about having some attachment. It is also about the proper behavior, right? The living entity becomes attached to anything that the living entity associates with. But attachment is not enough. We have to behave properly. You see the point? Attachment doesn't do it. If we don't behave properly, there will always be problems. So as we become more interested in elevating our Krishna consciousness, we must associate more carefully with the devotees, because we are protected by the Vaishnava's blessings. Without their blessings, this avidya will come in very strongly. We won't even see it. This pastime, Rupa Kaviraj, right? So he's on the platform of Bhava Bhakti, but he makes an offense to Krishna Priya Takarani. Rupa Kaviraj is giving Srimad Bhagavatam class. While he's giving class, he notices that she's at the back and her lips are moving, right? So you can see she's chanting. So he calls her out. How can you be listening to Bhagavatam and chanting at the same time? And she apologizes and she says to him, I'm sorry. It's just my nature. The holy name is always vibrating on my lips. Right? But because he had the wrong attitude towards that, he didn't recognize this is a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? Because he made the offense to Krishna Priya Takarani, then his spiritual immune system became weak. Right? When we make offenses to the devotees, our spiritual immune system becomes weak. So it's just like it's coming through to winter, autumn, winter. When your immune system is weak, it's not that there has to be more, viruses in the atmosphere. No, there may even be less viruses in the atmosphere, but you're more susceptible. Right? There's less in the atmosphere, but now we're more susceptible. So if we want to progress and be free, to be free of being a victim of this avidya, as Prabhupada is speaking about here, this ignorance. And if we do not want material conceptions to rise and to become again dominant within our consciousness, then we have to more and more refine and be careful in the association of Vaishnavas. We're looking for refined Krishna consciousness, the refined tastes that come from deep contemplation, deep practice, deep loving Vaishnava savor. So we can really extract the deepest mercy from the Lord and to also distribute that mercy deeply to other people. I was reflecting on His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And, one of the things that he would do when they were doing university preaching, they would distribute prasadam, right? And Maharaj is had such a phenomenal spiritual intelligence. He would then go around to the students and he would ask them, what do you think of the prasadam? Like that. The students who said, wow, this is fantastic, it's great. He would preach to them because he could understand that if they appreciate the prasadam, it means that they must have some agyata sukriti, right? So when they get spiritual food, they can appreciate it. So they've got some sukriti. We just build on the sukriti they already have. Right? Very intelligent. Right? But the uttama, one of the special qualities of the uttama, is that with the uttama adhikari, their potency is so great that even they preach to someone who's got no sukriti whatsoever, they can immediately, by their own potency, bring them up. Isn't that amazing? Right? So, you want to find someone who's got money so you can use their money to, invest it to make them more money, right? But they've got to have something for you to invest, right? But if you're a billionaire, you can take a homeless person off the street, make them a millionaire. Does that make sense? Yeah? That's Srila Prabhupada. That's the uttama adhikari, right? They can take someone with no sukriti, bring them from scratch all the way up. And Prabhupada is expecting that we will cleanse ourselves, that we will take such full advantage, that we will also be able to bring people up as much as possible. And to really, as Prabhupada says, save the planet through the practice of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, this is a long purport, so we haven't gone through the whole thing. There's maybe a couple of paragraphs left. But it's quarter two, so I know we need to stop because it's going to be Kirtan as well. Do we have time for maybe one question? Okay.